is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, hoop heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish home machine. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Don Showalter from USA Basketball, and you are listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Coaches, do you have a point guard or leader you're going to be counting on next season to run the show for you? Don't leave next season to chance. Thousands of coaches send their players to a point guard college camp each summer to learn to think the game, lead a team, and run the show. Your players will be smarter, better leaders, and better equipped to foster a championship culture next season in practice and in your locker room. I've seen firsthand how PGC camps have had a huge impact on players and coaches that I know, both on and off the court. You can go to pgcbasketball.com to find a 5-day, 4-night camp near you. That's pgcbasketball.com.
Honestly, to me, it's like the NFL quarterback. That coach comes in there and he quarterbacks the program and the future of the program. And right now, Dwayne's going out into the community and doing great stuff. He's talking to people on a very honest level saying, hey, I don't know anybody. I want to make something really cool here. Jump on board. It'll be fun.
Welcome to episode 6 of our Hoopheads podcast series called Mentality with Dwayne Killings, season 1 at UAlbany. The series will document Dwayne's first year as the head men's basketball coach at the University at Albany. We plan to record and release 2 to 4 episodes per month with Dwayne and or players, coaches, administrators, media members, and others associated with the Great Danes basketball program to get an inside look at what being a first-year head coach at the Division I level is all about. If you're looking to improve your coaching, please consider joining the Hoopheads Mentorship Program. We believe that having a mentor is the best way to maximize your potential and become a transformational coach. By matching you up with one of our experienced mentors, you'll develop a one-on-one relationship that will help your coaching, your team, your program, and your mindset. The Hoopheads Mentorship Program delivers mentoring services to basketball coaches at all levels through our team of experienced head coaches. Find out more at hoopheadspod.com or shoot me an email directly, mike@hoopheadspod.com. Our roster of shows is growing, so don't forget to check out all our other podcasts on the Hoopheads Pod Network, including Thrive with Trevor Huffman, Beyond the Ball, the CoachMaze.com podcast, Players Court, Bleachers and Boards, The Green Light, Courtside Culture, and our team-focused NBA pods, Cavaliers Central, Knuck a Few Buck, 305 Culture, Hashtag Lakers, Motor City Hoops, X's and O's NBA Breakdown, Spanning the Spurs, LA Hoops, The Wizards Hoops Analyst, Lakers Fast Break, At the Buzzer, and Daily Thunder. We're looking for more NBA podcasters interested in hosting their own show centered on a particular team. Email us info@hoopheadspod.com if you're interested in learning more and bringing your talent to our network. Today we're diving in with both UAlbany head coach Dwayne Killings and UAlbany basketball's play-by-play and color announcer, Charlie Volker. Charlie talks about his role in the media, covering Great Danes basketball and what he hopes to see Coach Killings accomplish during his tenure at UAlbany. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here this morning without my co-host Jason Sunkel, but I am pleased to be joined as part of our mentality series with Dwayne Killings, although Dwayne is not here yet, but we are joined by our guest, Charlie Volker, who is the host of Charlie and Ball, a brand new show on ESPN 104.5, The Team, in the afternoon. And so, Charlie, welcome to the Hoopheads pod. We're excited to talk some UAlbany hoops and get to know you a little bit better as well.
Absolutely, Mike. And I'm fired up to be on the show and talk with you and talk with Dwayne when he finally gets here. But I'm definitely getting in the mentality of the whole thing.
There you go. All right. So let's start with a little bit about your background. Tell us, you worked for the University at Albany at one point in the athletic department.
Yep. I actually started doing their games. I did their basketball games I started doing their basketball and football games in 1996. I graduated from there back in the 80s and then came back to do their games. And then in 2003, I became the Associate Athletic Director of External Affairs. So I handled a lot of marketing, all the corporate sales, all their media relations things. I didn't do a lot of broadcasts in the 2000s, 2010s, but about 2015, I started doing broadcasts again. With them, I did the NCAA tournament with the Great Danes, and then did a couple of years. And I actually retired from there in January of 2019 before the world retired in March of 2019. So I had a 2-month jump on it, you know.
There you go. So tell me a little bit about how you get involved in the broadcasting side and the athletic administration piece. How do those two things coexist within your career?
Well, you know, my first job out of college was working for Time Warner Cable. And I did a lot of it here in the Capital Region. I did a lot of high school sports. I did a sports talk show with them. I did some sports news and some regular news with them. So broadcasting was really my in. Eventually, I transitioned to doing some marketing and doing some sales. Then I went into minor league baseball where I could put all of those things together. So I was calling games. I was doing some stuff. And then I got more into the administrative side of minor league baseball and worked my way up to being the general manager. And then I went over to UAlbany in the administrative side. So it was all like while I was being a general manager of a minor league baseball team in the offseason, I would do UAlbany broadcasts. And finally, I put the whole mess together and I made a mess of a career of it. And but it's really worked out well. And I think that both of them being involved in the broadcast has often given me a more in-depth view, especially of the big revenue sports for UAlbany, because I've done football, basketball, men's lacrosse. I also do. So those are the big revenue sports over at UAlbany. And I think it's given me a great perspective to be a good administrator as well as doing the broadcast.
What do you think are the strengths of the athletic department at UAlbany and just the school itself? What makes it an attractive place for athletes and a place for a coach to come to be able to build a quality program? What are the strengths that you see of the athletic department?
Well, I'll tell you, in my years there, I collected 114 championship rings. And, you know, that's for a reason, because it's a quality educational institution. And at mid-majors, you know, it's a lot like, I would say the America East tries to be a lot like the Ivies, where they try to get academic schools that are going to be in, you know, academic schools that are going to, I would say, make sure that that's the push of the conference. And then you have the location of Albany, where you're, you know, 2.5 hours from New York City, you're 2.5 hours from Boston, you're 2 hours from Syracuse. It's a great sports market, and it's New York. So it's an easy place for coaches to recruit people, because they're like, hey, you're going to get a good education You're going to play games in major markets. You're going to play games in New York. You're going to play games in Boston. You're going to play games in Baltimore. So you're going to be in major markets. Your family, easy for your family to come and fly in and see you. So a lot of big advantages to being a coach at UAlbany.
I think that major market piece is one that's really interesting, and it's one that to a certain population of kid, that can be really, really important when you start talking about the places that you get to go and visit. I think about my experiences as a student athlete, and I played in the Mid-American Conference, and not that I was traveling to big cities within the conference, but every year we would get a chance to go to one or two tournaments, and we went to places that I'm not sure that necessarily I would have gone to, or, and there's some places that I'd like to go back to that I haven't, but I was went to Boise, Idaho. I went to New York City. I went to these places that as a normal 19 or 20 year old college student, I never would have had the opportunity to be able to do that. And so when you can have that as a selling point at your university, that not only are you going to have a great place to play your home games, but now you have access to these other cities and this ability to travel, to me, I think that's hugely, hugely attractive. And so when I looked at, and when Dwayne and I first got connected back when he was at Marquette before he took the job at UAlbany, and then when he eventually did, and then he and I started thinking about putting together this series. And what I remember him saying over and over again was just how perfect he felt like the fit was for himself as a first-time Division I coach to be able to come in, and the support that he felt from Mark Benson and the athletic department and the president and just the university community as a whole. And it just feels like he's going to be able to come in and do some really, really exciting things with the basketball program. So as you look at that and you think about Dwayne coming in and being able to build a program, what are some of the things that you think, as you look at it from the outside, what are some things that you think the men's basketball coach can do to really start to get this program to the level that I know Dwayne wants to get it to, and I know that you as a community member and a former member of the athletic administration would love to see it get to?
Yeah, I think, you know, the cool thing about the situation is it's not like he's going to a place that's never won. You know, he's got, and you know, it's been a couple of years since we've had an AmeriCup championship. But there is that foundation of, hey, we've been to the NCAA tournament five times, you know, in the last 20 years or 18 years. And now it's an opportunity to take it to the next level of, hey, we want to get to the NCAA tournament and we want to win a game. And maybe we want to win two games and eventually be that next level team. Like I look at Gonzaga and I say, if Gonzaga can do that, UAlbany can do that. And I know that because I know what the resources are and I know what the allocations are and I know all the different combinations. And there are different challenges from different places. But Dwayne can do that if he wants. It's going to take time. You've got to raise the money. You've got to do all the right things. But he's got all the tools to do all those kinds of things. And I think with that new freshness and excitement, that will excite the fan base. I think our fan base got bored at some points. You know, we went to three straight NCAA tournaments. The next year, our attendance went down. It was like, oh, we'll wait for them to go to the AmeriCup tournament. No, but like the Yankees deal with that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And it's right. Like big league teams deal with those, you know, major sports teams deal with, you know, the apathy from fans. And you go into college athletics and, you know, what, a quarter of our house is dedicated to students. There's no one more apathetic about being a fan right now than students, right?
Right.
You know, if Duke has trouble getting the students to go. So I think there's been a lot of changes in that way, but I think Dwayne's really fresh and I like his mentality slogan. I like the way he practices. I just like the freshness of the whole thing. I think everything, like when I left UAlbany, I didn't leave because I was done and I'm like retiring and I'm over with. I needed to refresh. I was done. The program needs a refresh. The program needs somebody like Dwayne to refresh everything and refresh that fan base. And man, I'll tell you, I know they're trying, Mark Benson's trying to put some new seating in there and some more amenities in the CFQ arena. I think there's potential in the next 2-3 years that Dwayne will blow that program up, if not this year, coming right now.
Let's talk about, in general, mid-major college basketball, because you mentioned Gonzaga, and obviously that's the blueprint for anybody who
right.
is a coach or an athletic administrator for, hey, look, Gonzaga 25 years ago was nothing. And not nothing,
nobody.
But you know what I'm saying. They were
right.
Just,
I was.
Just throw them into the hat with 100 other mid-major Division I college programs
Absolutely.
Across the country.
Absolutely.
And now you start building it and you start getting that reputation and it sort of feeds on itself. And I think when I look at Gonzaga, I think one of the things that has been really, really key is the fact that Mark Few came to Gonzaga after Dan Monson had sort of built and got that thing started. And now Mark Few's been there, what, 18, 19 years, something like that. And obviously, I'm sure he's had opportunities to jump to a Power Five
right.
conference school, but he hasn't. He's, in essence, turned Gonzaga into a Power Five conference school.
Right.
And to me, I think that's the challenge with a mid-major program being able to grow and develop is you have to be able to maintain that continuity. Like, for example, I went to Kent State, and when I played at Kent, we were pretty good. We had a couple good teams my first 2 years, and then my last 2 years, we didn't have as much success as I would have liked. But obviously, like 10 years after I left, Kent State makes it to the Final Eight and loses to Indiana
right.
and was one game away from the Final Four. And then after that, we had a series of coaches that came through that were there for a couple years. But for whatever reason, those guys were able to continue to build it, and the success has been sustainable. And I don't know. I think we've only had one season where we haven't won 20 games in like the last 15 or 20 years. So it's been kind of an incredible run. And I think that when you talk about mid-major college basketball, it takes, as you mentioned, everybody within the athletic department working on the same page. And it takes a dynamic coach to sell the program, as you said, to get people excited and to refresh it. And I know Dwayne now from having lots of conversations with him. And I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be able to bring that excitement. Talk about some of the things that you've seen so far, just in terms of his community outreach, that lead you to believe that he's going to be able to generate that excitement and that freshness that you're talking about.
Well, he's totally willing to put boots on the ground and talk to everybody. And but I'll start with, he said to me, he's like, hey man, you want to come to one of my practices? And I'm like, sure. And I just saw the way he was and the way he related to the guys he inherited. And I think that that's important, the way you treat everybody and the way you embrace your group. And not that I've expected anything different from him, but I have seen coaches come into new situations and maybe not treat everybody the same way if they didn't bring them there. And I think he went out of his way to ingratiate everybody and to say, hey, I'm just here to help further the mission. And I think that that's important. And I think that that's important for success in knowing what the role of a coach. I mean, it's like, honestly, to me, it's like the NFL quarterback. That coach comes in there and he quarterbacks the program and the future of the program. And right now, Dwayne's going out into the community and doing great stuff. He's talking to people on a very honest level, saying, hey, I don't know anybody. I want to make something really cool here. Jump on board. It'll be fun. I'm bringing in some players. His coaching staff is so cool. Those guys really have an amazing perspective on things, and they're out there. So I think the nucleus of what he's putting out there in his first, what is he here, a couple of months already? I mean, that's it. He's made such a presence in such a short amount of time that I do think he can have a dynamic impact, not only in 2 years down the line, but I think this year going into the season, I think he's creating some excitement for the Great Danes program. And I think people are pumped about that.
What's up, Dwayne?
What's going on, man? It's great to be a guest, I guess, on the show today. I apologize. This job, I love it. but the pivots and how fast the game moves, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So I apologize, but I'm listening to Charlie do his thing, and it's probably better that it's his show today than anything else because he's the best.
No, player. I'm dropping off now. I said all these nice things about you. Now that you're on, I can't be all nice and fluffy.
Now he's gonna have to get real, man, and tell you what you really have to do. Now he's gonna start throwing out the critiques.
Yeah, that's completely what's going to happen.
So we were just talking, Dwayne, a little bit about how you can take a mid-major college basketball program, and not that we're setting the bar that high, but we talked a little bit about Gonzaga and how that's kind of the gold standard of 25 years ago. Gonzaga was just right down with everybody else. They weren't really any different. And then you had Dan Monson kind of get things started, and Mark Few goes there, turns things around, stays there for a long time, obviously probably had opportunities to go somewhere else. And we were kind of discussing what were some of the things that made them successful. And Charlie was telling us about some of the things that you've already started to do that he sees you doing in terms of community outreach and generating excitement around the program. So maybe just talk a little bit about, again, reiterate some of the things that you felt have been really important, not necessarily amongst just with your players or with your staff, but just getting out into the UAlbany community and reaching out to faculty, staff, people who live in the community, that kind of thing, fans, to be able to generate excitement around the program.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. And I don't know if I'm ready to be talked about in the same echo of Gonzaga and what they've done there. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
No, I don't think we're making that leap. But we're trying to throw out like an ACC.
No, I got it.
It's a very vague analogy.
I appreciate it. What I would say to you, you know, about the people at Gonzaga, you know, I don't know Coach Few, but he loves the place that he's at, and I share that same mindset. Like, I love the opportunity that I have here at Albany, one, because they gave it to me, but two, I believe in the place. I think it's such a unique place. I think it's a great place to live. I think it's a great region. I think when you look at the dynamics of our staff, and then, you know, you look at my own personal background, it all connects, right? Recruiting, the type of kids you need to recruit to be here to be successful. And then when you think about trying to go through the Northeast corridor, where it goes from New England to the Capital Region to New York to New Jersey to Philly to D.C., Maryland, you know, that's probably going to be our wheelhouse. Well, that's been the wheelhouse of our staff. And when we got here on the ground, my first thing was building relationships. That's what's gotten me to this point in my life. I was just telling somebody yesterday, Senator Breslin, you know, came by and we met for a little bit. And he asked, you know, just kind of what drove to me to kind of introduce myself to the community the way we did. And I said, well, you know, my dad worked at UMass Amherst for 40 years. And I thought when I was young, like him caring about people and going to lunch and shaking hands and taking pride in his place, I thought that was like what everybody did, but that's not normal. You know, some people just kind of put their head down and go to work. You know, he loved working there. He loved the university because it gave a great life for, you know, my mom, my dad, me, and my sister. And I feel the same way for me, my wife, and my kids. So that was intentional because I wanted people to get to know me. But also, when our staff got here, it was really important for me that, like, people understood who we were as people, not just as coaches. Like, I don't want to be remembered as Coach Killings. Like, I'm still a person, and I have my own identity, and so does our staff. And I think people have gravitated to that. Now they pay more attention to who we are as coaches. And if we're going to get this right, we got to care about people. We got to care about the issues in the city. I say issues, I look at them as opportunities. You know, how can we help? How can we help people, you know, just do things at a higher level? Or how can we help people think a little bit differently? Then when we ask them to support us, it's natural because we have relationships with them and we're authentic about it and we're real. Like, it's not, this isn't like a fly-by-night deal where, you know, if we go and support somebody or go into a school, we walk out and we leave and we don't come back. We want to make this a real relationship where, you know, we can help people grow. You know, Dan, our operations director, the other day, he said something really good. He said, you know, with our literacy program that we're going to create, we want to create like a lasting legacy where, you know, that experience, and as we grow with those kids, it helps them grow because we keep coming back. We don't just leave them and they wonder, I wonder how those guys are doing. You know, they're like, I'm excited because they're coming back in a couple of weeks. And those are some of the things we were doing. So we've been running around, shaking hands, giving out T-shirts. But really, it's about just making people stop and listen and get to know who we are.
All right. So speaking of how do you get to know each other and how do we get to know, how do you get to know the community, how do they get to know you? Charlie, when you think about you yourself as the color analyst for men's basketball, how do you get to know Dwayne right now in the off season? And then as you go into the season, you start actually preparing to cover the team. How do you build the kind of relationships and get that, quote, insider knowledge that's going to help you to do a better job in your role as the color analyst on, you know, on TV and radio?
You know, and it's funny you say that, Mike, because as much as I want to do a great job as the color analyst, and that's like a big thing for me, I'm a people person, and I'm a really big supporter of UAlbany because I went there and I've spent so much time there. So Dwayne's success to me is the most important thing. And I looked at it when I met Dwayne, and Mark Benson said to me, he's like, hey, you're really going to like him. And, you know, if I didn't really like him, honestly, I wouldn't be on with you right now. And I'd be like, hey, you know how I'll prepare for it? I'll go to a couple of practices. I'll ask him a couple of questions and I'll do my job. Dwayne sold me, and it's, he didn't really sell me. He's just a good person, and I like good people, and he's got a good plan to do good things for kids. And honestly, if that's your thing, I'm totally behind him. And I think he's going to do a really cool thing for the Great Danes. And I think he's going to do a really cool thing for the students that go to school there, helping their experience. And I think that the kids that are going to play basketball are going to really get something out of this that they may not get from other coaches. And like Dwayne gave me a really cool book, and it's called The Legacy Builder. And I'm about three quarters of the way through it. And I pick it up. It's a very easy read. But it's a cool read, and it's a cool life read that made me reflect on so many parts of my 57-year-old life. And I love that stuff. So, like, this dude comes out of practice, tosses a book at me, and really a book that makes me think and a book that makes me look at life. And then I think about, wow, that kid's going to be around my kid every single day. I'd send my kid to play for him in a second. And that's what you look for in a coach. That's what a Division I winning coach should be. Hey, am I going to be able to send my kid to play for this guy? And is he going to get something more than just, you know, a good basketball career? What kind of person is he going to be when he leaves the university? And I have the utmost confidence in the people that are going to leave the university after playing for Dwayne. And so all my chips are in.
All right. What's the takeaway from the book? I'm curious.
It's the Legacy Builder. It's a pretty cool book about this guy, Lance, and just looking back at his life and then going and having meetings with a coach, and the coach sort of pointing out some very important things in life to him, and, you know, his wife and his family, and the importance of balance in his life. And he has a son that's handicapped, and he goes into a big surgery, and this guy's life sort of was really cool, and he was a student athlete and everything was going great. And then he made all this money with this company. He started with his friends. His friends, you know, sold out, and he runs the company now. And life took over, like the company took over his life. The bottom line took over his life, and the guy was miserable. And I think, you know, we all live this really cool life that where I look at it my age, and what Dwayne looks at it as his age. And when we can pass that on to kids and some experiences, maybe they miss a bump in the road and their life is a little better because we shared that stuff. So when I see Dwayne reading this stuff and passing this stuff on to other people, I've been around education long enough. I know what the results of that are going to be. I know that's going to have positive results upon the people that are there. And just quickly, I'm going to compare him to another guy at UAlbany. And we were talking about mid-majors and being successful. Scott Marr is totally into this, our men's lacrosse coach. And he took the team to the Final Four. Why? Because his kids believe in him, and they learn more than just
what goes on in lacrosse. They learn a lot about life, and they learn a lot about backing each other up and being part of a team. And that's why they went to the Final Four. They have a great group of players. Dwayne's going to bring a great group of players, but he may create something that's completely different that takes teams to a different level. And you don't have to go to a big place to do that. You can do it right at UAlbany, and I have all the faith in the world Dwayne's going to do that. No pressure, Dwayne.
I love it.
I do think that being able to have a greater impact than just within the confines of your sport is something that, especially in today's world, and not just basketball, but I think any sport.
Yes.
It's such a – I don't think it was necessarily always like that 30 years ago. And today, I think the best coaches are the ones who are not only impacting winning on the court or on the field, but they're also people who are impacting winning out in the community and impacting winning long-term, 10, 20 years down the road. Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com/teampricing to learn more. That's ARYSE.com. Dwayne, why that book? Is that a book that you share with everybody that you feel, hey, could benefit from this book? Is that one that was specific to Charlie? But why that book?
Yeah, so my assistant, Matt Griffin, who I think the world of, actually sent it to me. We, over the last 7 or 8 years, I'm in the car driving home from recruiting. I call Matt, we just talk about his journey as a head coach in high school, mine, as an assistant coach in college. And we would share quotes and stories and books. And he sent that one to me. And, sometimes people send you books, they don't fit or they don't catch you. And I just plowed through it. And I was taking notes. And I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the lead in the book, Lance. I enjoyed his story. And one of the things I thought about was, if I ever got a chance to become a head coach, like you immerse yourself in this job. Well, what happens? You forget about your family. And I try to be really cognizant of that. So the book spoke to me in a lot of different ways. But I went on Amazon. I think I found a bunch of used ones for like $2 or $3. But I sent them to a bunch of guys. Like I sent them to, my one of my really good friends, JB Bickerstaff, is the head coach of the Cavs. I sent it to him. He called me right away after he read it. I was like, man, I love the book. It's easy to read, but there's so many things that speak to you, when you're in these leadership roles that sometimes you forget that I think you need to rediscover. And I gave it to my wife. And I think the coach that Lance goes to, his wife kind of pops in and out of the story, but you can tell that like she grounds the coach and she grounded Lance in some ways. And my wife read it and she really liked it. And she was taking notes and trying to like figure out how to be a better mom. It was kind of cool. And so I got some of them and I just certain people, I'm like, I think you'll appreciate the book and appreciate the story. And I think from a leadership perspective, from a life perspective, it just makes you think a little bit and it makes you take pause, which I don't think people do enough of. You just kind of get in your routine, going over and over and over, but how can you get better? How can you think a little bit different? That's what I want to do for our staff. That's what I want to do for our players. That's what I want to do for the people in this community and also on this campus. Just take pause and say like, hey, what if we did this instead of that? And how does that impact our players, our students, and our community? And I think this book in small ways, it just speaks to you in a lot of different capacities. And when I first met Charlie, I loved his energy. I could see his passion for people, for this place, this university. And I just thought, he'd really like it. So I literally opened up a box and I put one in my pocket and I said, I'm going to throw it at him. And I know I'm going to throw him off. He's not going to assume the new guy in town is about to give him a book to read. It's taken him a little bit longer to read the book than I thought it would. But it's a good piece, Mike, I'll send you one. I think it's an easy read. You can read it in a weekend.
Easy.
But you're going to walk away better, for it. And why, I never asked Matt, why he gave me the book, but I probably sent it to our entire staff before I got this job just because I liked the book. I liked the read. I thought it's, so I gave it to Dan, actually, who at the time was with me at Marquette, and he gave it to his fiance. Because it's just, there's something about it that probably addresses something that's going on in that moment in your life. And I gave this quote to our staff. It was a John Chaney quote, but it speaks to like winning the moment and winning the minute that you're in, because that's the most important moment in your life, because that's where you are. And I think that's really important that we're always cognizant of as a staff in terms of the leadership, but also we have to teach our players, you got to live in the moment, because what we're going to create here is really special, but we don't have everything at Albany, but that's okay. We have enough. And I think if our kids understand that and value the place and the opportunity and what we're trying to pour into them, we're going to be really good, and we'll do some of the things that Charlie spoke of. And, you know, I would love to wake up living a dream that we're living like Gonzaga, but that's a high bar. But, you know, if we get better every single day, we're going to be the best program we can be, and I can go to sleep happy at night.
When I think about what you just said, the word that comes to my mind is intentional. And I often think about this when I go to a conference, and whether that could be something related around basketball, maybe it's a clinic, or maybe it's just something involved with education from my day job as a teacher. And you'll sit and you'll listen to a speaker, or you'll get some material that'll be passed out to you, or you'll read a book, or somebody will recommend something. And a lot of times the information that you read isn't necessarily information that's new to you. It's not necessarily groundbreaking, but if it's presented in an entertaining way, it gets you to think about things in a more intentional way. And it brings things that you know are important, that you know should be important, that you know should be prioritized. And yet sometimes, like you just said, the job sometimes just kind of overwhelms you, and we get so caught up in our day to day, like, I got to get this task done, I got to do this, I got to be at this meeting, I got to make sure I have this done, that sometimes it's easy to overlook that bigger picture of why we're there, whether that's our family, whether that's having an impact on our players or our employees or our coworkers or whatever it may be. And I think just bringing that to the forefront, if the book does that, to me, those are the kind of books that I find to be the most valuable, is ones that remind me of, hey, you should really focus on these particular things. And then that makes the kind of impact that you're looking to have. And it leaves that legacy, like the title of the book is. Charlie, describe your first opportunity meeting Dwayne in person.
I just actually called Matt into the office and put him on the spot. Matt, why did you give me The Legacy Builder, the book by Rod Olson?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it helped me as a head coach. It changed my life in many different ways.
So is that simple? So I'm just curious. When I started talking, I called him in here because I had no idea why he sent it to me. And maybe there was something deeper, but is that simple?
There's something to be said for simplicity, right?
There really is something to be said for simplicity.
Go ahead, Mike. My fault.
All right. You're good. All right, Charlie. Tell me about the first time you met Dwayne in person. What was the introduction, just the circumstances, and just describe that first meeting.
Well, I was doing a live remote for the afternoon show on 104.5 FM here in the Capital Region. And I was supposed to go to his press conference, but it got pushed back because he had to have his hair done. So I couldn't make the press conference, so they brought Dwayne up to meet me up at the live remote. We were doing that at a restaurant up in Clifton Park, and so it was just cool. I mean, I could just see from the time we shook hands and the smile and the look in his face, he was serious about doing something very cool for the Great Danes, and that means a lot to me, you know. There's a lot of people that go around in this world that are, you know, hey, I took the job so I could make a little bit more money and do something. But there are also those people that really care about it. And at the mid-major level, and I'll tell you, you know, you had said, I don't think it's so much 30 years ago about those coaches being there. I think that those coaches have always been there. But I think just more now that what these coaches are doing for people in other parts of their lives are finally coming to the forefront. Because I think coaches have been there for since I was a kid in helping me see what my deficiencies were in a way, and maybe talking to me in a way that I really needed more than I realized at that time. And those messages always come across. So, But right now, hopefully the people, those messages and those coaches are starting to be recognized more than just for the X's and O's and wins and losses, but the impacts that they're having on student athletes' lives as we send them out into the community. I used to laugh. It's like, okay, we're sending out 500 student athletes every year into the community, but we only care about the ones that are going to, you know, get drafted in the major league draft, or they're going to go in the NBA or play in the NFL. We got a lot of people going out there in the community doing a lot of great things. And those are the student athletes. That's the majority of the student athletes that I became, that I cared about over the many, many years. And I think Dwayne's going to do a great job for them.
Dwayne, what do you foresee as your role in terms of interacting with guys like Charlie who are part of the media? How do you go about approaching your relationship with the media? Obviously, it's different from when you were an assistant coach, where you probably have relatively little contact with the media, to now being the head coach. You're the point guy. You're the one that everybody wants to talk to. So just how do you approach handling and dealing with the media that you're going to have to face, and you're going to have to, you know, again, build relationships with over the course of your career there?
Yeah, I was really fortunate to be, you know, at Temple, which has a pretty unique relationship with college basketball because of the six Division I programs. And then, you know, UConn, it was the only show in town. So there was a lot of media just around, you know, and you still got a lot of interaction as an assistant. And then Marquette, I mean, it's got a cult following. So I think I was prepared for that. I think, you know, again, kind of reflecting back to the UConn experience, like really the only show in town was Siena. So there's a desire to kind of know what's going on behind the curtain. Now, you know, I want to be really authentic and transparent, but I think I want to know where everybody's coming from. What are your goals? Like, you know, I've sat down with, later today, I have lunch with Roger Weiland, who's in town here, and I sat with Leanna for one of the news stations here, because my questions are, you know, what is it that you're trying to get accomplished in terms of covering our program, and how can I help? Because if we work together, we can tell really unique stories. And it's got to be deeper than just who made the last basket. Like, let's tell the story about who these kids are, but then I need your help to prepare our student athletes to take advantage of those moments. Because what I don't want is when you put a microphone in front of one of our players' face, they're not prepared to answer their questions and represent themselves and their families and our school the right way. So I asked for some help in that perspective. But, you know, I want to give people access. The only thing I ask in return is that, you know, we're taken care of the right way. Like, I get you got to talk about the wins and also talk about the losses. But, you know, let's be transparent about what we're trying to get accomplished. And, you know, let's take care of each other and value the relationships that we're building. Because in the end of the day, you know, I think if certain thing, you know, you say one thing and it turns into something else, you know, that's not fair. You know, because, again, I'll give you as much access as you want. You know, in my mind, you know, I'm here in this office and in that gym probably more than I'm home in my own house. So I'm bringing you into my personal living room a lot of times. And I want you to act like you're inside my home and treat our players like they're my sons, because they are. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're taking care of each other on both sides of the deal. And if we do that, I think we can have a great working relationship.
Charlie, how do you approach your interactions with student athletes? Because obviously there are times with coaches where you have to ask questions that a coach may not necessarily enjoy answering, about strategy or about the results of a game or whatever. And then you think about, those coaches are adults. That's their job. They're being paid to do it. And then you have student athletes who may be 18, 19, 20 years old who have to answer questions. And as Dwayne said, maybe sometimes they get a mic thrown in front of them and they're not necessarily prepared for the type of question that they have. So when you think about that from a media perspective, how do you approach dealing with or interviewing, talking to a college athlete, and maybe compare that to how you would approach a professional athlete who, again, is a little older, a little bit more mature, who's being paid to do a job, versus a student athlete who's still, you know, a college student that's learning, a kid, it's growing, and is still kind of stepping into who they're going to be as an adult?
I and I'll be honest, Mike, I take offense to media guys that try to put student athletes on the spot about, especially execution of plays during pressure situations or whatever it happens to be. To me, they're kids still. pro athletes, I get it. You're being paid to do this. And I'm totally, you know, I any question to me on a paid athlete is game. But with student athletes, you know, to ask them, hey, you know, emotional things or things like that, that's fine. To put them on the spot about, you know, how did you feel about this play, or you guys didn't execute this play, or how'd you feel about losing the game? I never going to hear that from me. It's just no question is that important to me.
Dwayne, how do you help prepare your kids to deal with the media? Do you guys have specific sessions, thoughts? Is it just something that you're kind of talking about over the course of your time while you're, you know, after practice and individual conversations? Are you formally doing something with your team in terms of sharing how you feel like they should interact with the media? What's your approach there?
Yeah, this summer, our guys get here in early July, and we're putting them through what we're calling a leadership institute. So there's a bunch of different pieces, you know, to the experience for them. Everything from a speaker series to, you know, professional dress to a financial literacy piece. But we're also going to do a media training piece, and I may, you know, reach out to some of the guys in the region, because I think that's a really good way to kind of, like, let's learn together, right? Because I think our players can teach also, you know, there's a lot of experience media types in the city. But if you talk to our kids, like, you know, the way they're interacting, there may be some things our guys don't like that they may think is a home run. Well, let's learn from each other, right? But at the same time, I want to put our guys through, you know, answering some hard questions, you know, learning how to take pause to collect your thoughts. Like, you know, you got to control that 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes of an interview. So, like, how do you take control of it? Also preparing our players for doing things on Zoom, but also preparing them for doing things in person, because we may transition back and there may be some guys that lost the skill or don't have the skill of having the human interaction piece. So we'll do all those things this summer. And my hope is that now when they come back for the fall, and they're reintroduced to media opportunities, you know, they're just more prepared and more confident to showcase who they are and what they're about. And sometimes, you know, answering the question properly is key, but you can also give the person asking the question a little bit more depth about who you are, or who our program is, or, you know, some things that you may feel confident about. Because also, I mean, there's an opportunity in our program that maybe we want to address something that's going on in the community or in society. If we do those kind of things, we need to make sure we're prepared to articulate, you know, what we're trying to say the right way. Cause I'll never not support our kids if they feel like that's something they want to do.
Charlie, when you think about that and you have an opportunity, obviously we've had some situations in our country politically and with the social justice piece of it, where I'm sure you've talked to, either in your role here at UAlbany or your role with 104.5 the ESPN radio, where you've had an opportunity to talk to athletes who have strong opinions about things that are maybe outside the parameters of the game itself. So how do you approach that as a broadcaster, as a media member, when you're diving into those subjects with an athlete? And it could be, again, a student athlete, it could be a professional athlete, but just when you think about things outside of the game, what's your approach when you're interviewing somebody in those areas?
You know, I think it's really what your goal of it is. I mean, obviously we had some tense times this year, and so you have to be able to, if an athlete wants to express themselves about that, and some college athletes did want to express themselves about that, I think as part of the media, you have to be able to, you have to allow that for them. And I think as the institution, as an educational institution, expression has been what educational institutions have been built on for, you know, our country's history. So I think it's important. I also think it's a balance. I think anytime the things that always concern me are, there are media guys out there that bait college athletes to get quotes. And if that's what your intention is, that's wrong. But if you're allowing a college athlete who says, hey, you know, this certain circumstance happened, really feel, you know, strongly about this. We did this because this is what our feeling. We met it as a team. This is what our feeling was. And we've had these situations before. And, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is overhandle them, because then they're not authentic and the student athletes feel like they've been pushed in a direction. The other thing is, hey, if you're going to have a strong expression, make sure that that's on your own thing. And maybe that's not something that we want pushed as the university. So it's a really, really tough balance between what my old role would be, where, you know, if a student athlete wants to express themselves, I'm totally cool with that. Don't express yourself with, you know, like on lines, you know, in a press conference, do it in different ways and, you know, go to the right thing. So there's all different. It's a very, very delicate balance between the two. But you really, honestly, you got the one thing I think ultimately they should be able to express their views.
How do you, Charlie, when you're thinking about preparing for a game, so you're going into a game next season, talk a little bit about what your prep looks like to get yourself ready as the color analyst for a men's basketball game. How much prep time are you putting in learning players' names, maybe from the opposing team, interviewing with and going in and preparing and talking with the head coach? Just talk a little bit about your prep for a particular game.
So usually that starts like when the team starts practicing, you know, so it would be, I'd start to, you know, go to a practice, I'd get the rosters, I'd start to look through who guys are, start to try to put some faces with names. You know, when I was working there, it was very easy for me. I'd be to a million practices. But this year I'll go into Dwayne's practices in the fall. And maybe I'll even peek in the summer and watch them play. But
whoa, no summer talks.
No, you don't have kids around this summer?
No, I'm just kidding. You're always welcome. You're always.
I'm always all right. Well, so, but I wouldn't report on it, Dwayne. So, but I'm gonna learn the team. He's gonna have a whole bunch of new guys on there. Watch what their style is. And then when I'm researching another team, often I like to watch them. So the cool thing now with ESPN3, I can pretty much watch any of the teams that we're going to play any of the time. So I'll get to watch them a little bit, hear how you're supposed to pronounce people's names, those kinds of things. Look for some styles, look for their key players. And then I'll have a discussion about maybe what I saw and look at with one of the assistant coaches, maybe do a little scout thing on that. And then usually either Roger or myself will do a pregame interview with Dwayne.
All right. I love the pronunciation thing, because that's something that with the podcast,
oh man,
I always laugh trying to figure out, like, okay, I want to make sure I say this person's name right. So I'm on YouTube trying to look them up and see, okay, how's this? And then the worst is when you hear, I did this with Dwayne's wife and I heard her name pronounced like four different ways, but as I'm looking at videos, then I come on, I just have to ask. So what's your strategy for figuring out how to pronounce players' names? Because obviously there's a ton of names that I'm sure could be butchered in lots of different ways.
Usually I'll call their sports information director if he's not traveling with the team and go through and I write everything out phonetically. I'm a fanatic note person of I've got to have notes on everything. So everything's written out phonetically for me for the pronunciations. But usually if they've played before, I'll watch the opponent and I'll hear how the announcers do it. And then I'll sort of like circle back with the SID of like, hey, these three names. But like, you know, when you're doing lacrosse, there's like 50 guys. you know, like some of the guys, oh, he didn't play last week. And the guy's like all over the field this week and their names are ridiculous. So women's basketball and men's lacrosse are women's basketball. They're all from... We're all over the world, so it's difficult to get their pronunciations.
I can only imagine. Hey, coaches, parents, and group leaders. I want to introduce you to our newest sponsor, SnapRaise. SnapRaise is the nation's largest digital donation platform built to help teams, youth groups, and clubs raise money quickly and efficiently without selling products. SnapRaise builds your group a customizable campaign website and students use their mobile devices to connect and engage with their biggest fans. My son's high school team used SnapRaise this season, and our team raised all the money they needed to fund their season, and then some. Getting SnapRaise started is quick and free. Just visit snapraise.com, and you'll get connected to a local SnapRaise expert in no time. Dwayne, when you start thinking about what you hope the relationship looks like between yourself and Charlie as the color analyst, as a broadcast team, what do you envision that relationship looking like? How would you like that to work in an ideal world?
Great question. I think it's important that, you know, he hears and sees and feels, you know, what we're trying to get done as a program, like what our goals are. So kind of seeing, you know, what's in front of us, but also what's way down the road. So where are we trying to go and how are we trying to get there and how are we trying to build and help tell that story, you know, all the time. And then I think it's, you know, really important that he gets access, you know, to come and see how we're preparing. So that way it helps him do his job better, right? Which connects to the fans and the alumni, but also helps us as a program, because if he can talk about the journey that we're going on and how we prepared and how we executed, it just makes everything connect even better. I think also, I mean, everywhere I've worked, you know, the people that, and when I say tell the story, you know, it's some of the media people, but it's really the guys, you know, like Charlie, the guys that are really good, they're really close to the programs because they get access to them, and, you know, they start to, you know, fall in love with the players. And then as they understand who the players are, they can build identities for them, you know, and that's where those unique names or unique ways that you call the game or unique ways that you, you know, put an exclamation point on something that's happens in the game, you can do it with some flair because you know who he is as a kid. And it helps you tell that a little bit different, you know, as that game's going on and there's more entertainment, you know, and I think we all work so hard to build programs and graduate kids and do all this cool stuff, but we're still a form of entertainment also for people. So I think we have to be mindful of that as we go along.
And I also think, go ahead, Charlie.
I couldn't agree more. And especially, like, you know, I work for the university, you know what I mean? And to be able to tell the story is the key. And that's like to be able to say, because if I can help a little bit at some kid who's thinking about coming to UAlbany in the future, whether it's as a basketball player or as just a kid, it helps everybody. And, you know, if you know Dwayne's story, it's going to make you more engaged and make you want to come to games if you see the way he's treating kids and what he's doing about it and the kinds of kids he's trying to bring in and the kind of style of play and how he is entertaining and how much fun it is. I mean, that's all, it is all part of the entertainment process.
And I think, too, that when you start talking about having another voice that's promoting the program, and it's so important to be able to get that positive message out into the media. And obviously, Charlie, like you said, you're an employee of the university, so you're going to be a positive mouthpiece for the program. But from your perspective, Dwayne, I would think that just being able to have more people to share the message. You and your staff can only be in so many places and talking to so many people at any one time. And so to have media members who are serving as, again, a mouthpiece for the program, who are sharing those stories, who they've been given access to be able to come in and get to know you and get to know your staff, get to know your players, and now they're able to share that story, that only helps, I'm sure, to build the image of the program in the community, which again draws more people in, gets more fans involved, gets more people who are alums coming back and wanting to be involved in the program, wanting to make donations, wanting to see the program be successful. I think the media plays a huge role in getting that message out in front of people. Do you guys both agree with that?
Oh, I totally do. And I think, you know, the creativity of what we're trying to do, you know, KJ Baptiste in our office and Dan, you know, they do a great job of preparing us for, you know, presentations and recruiting. I mean, we try to think of, like, you know, if Charlie's saying something great on the radio, we immediately think, well, how can we make that small sound bite, you know, make it part of our presentation? Because it only helps us because, I mean, you know, nobody loves talking about themselves, or at least I don't, you know, and sometimes having somebody else talk about you, that also we can say, like, hey, this is somebody that's talking to a bigger audience, and this is what they're saying about us in our own community. That only helps. So I totally agree with you.
Charlie, how about you?
I think that that's a key, right? You want as many people out there trumpeting what you're doing. And that's like all part of it. We're all promoters of what we're doing. And that's why the program's there. And I think the more good things that you can get out there and the more good things that you can have, more people singing that message. And I think that that's why it's so important that DK has been out in the community and talking to people already, because I'm not just hearing about our basketball program from him. I'm starting to hear about it from other people who are like, hey, I met your basketball coach. Cool guy. Well, that's good stuff. And he hasn't even played a game yet.
Yeah, that makes such a huge difference when, as you said, Dwayne, it's easy to be the self-promoter. But eventually, I think people get tired of that when you're telling people about all the great things that you're going to do and that you're doing. And people are just like, all right, man, that's enough. And when you have other people that are coming in saying, no, no, this is for real. Like, this guy, this program, this situation is really going to be one that you're going to want to be a part of. When it comes from somebody outside of that immediate circle, I think there's a lot of power in that. And that's not to say that you don't have to self-promote, because as you know, you do. If you want to be able to have a successful program, I don't care if it's high school, yeah, college, whatever, a business. I mean, if you're not willing to promote yourself, there's not going to be people that are going to step up and do it. But if you do a good job and you do it in a way that it's not egotistical and you do it with humility, then other people are going to jump on board if you're genuine. And I think everybody that we've talked to, everybody that I think the perception right now is that that's exactly what, Dwayne, that's exactly what you've been able to do, is you've been able to get out in the community. You've been able to sell yourself in such a way that people are starting to buy into and believe in the vision. And the more people that you can have sharing that message, it's just like anything. That word of mouth kind of builds on itself. It builds on itself. And then before you know it, you have a lot of people talking about the program and not just the people who are inside. And I think that's when you really can make a turn for, hey, there's a buzz around what we're going to do. And, you know, that first game, provided you can get a semi-full arena with COVID, it looks like we're headed in the right direction. Hey, we put 15,000 in Madison Square Garden, right, for the Knicks
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's a good sign. That's a good sign for everybody that we're going to be able to have at least a semi-normal season in terms of attendance. So you start talking about the buzz around the program, and come late October, November, that, man, you're going to be able to put a packed house in the home opener. How exciting is that going to be for both of you guys?
Oh. That's the goal. That's the goal. And the crazy part of, you know, life like this. I don't know, 2+ months since I've been here. It's gone by really, really fast. Time moves by so quick. But the thing that I will say, though, about as we're connecting to people and you're talking about selling yourself, we seldom talk about basketball unless somebody asks us. It's about meeting people and getting to know, again, who we are as people. We'll get to the basketball. And to be honest with you, like, we'll work at the basketball. The basketball will take care of itself. Like, we want people to know who we are as individuals. And I think that creates its own story in itself. And I think that's really important, because the one thing I said, you know, at my press conference, I said it to our staff. I don't want to ask anybody to come to a game until I can show them that I care about them and I care about what's going on in the city, in the community, in the school. And then I feel like then it's okay to sit there and say, you know, okay, I need you guys to come support our team and our program. Because I say it all the time in recruiting. The worst thing that happens in recruiting is you just call guys when they have players. You got to check in on guys when they don't. You know, like, they're still running a program. They're still living a life. You can't just go to the well when there's a lot of water. You got to check on them at other times, too. And I think that's been really beneficial to me in my career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt that if you have a genuine relationship with somebody, you're not just going to them when they can do something for you. And I can't even tell you the number of books and places that I've read that particular sentiment that, look, if it's genuine, you're going to be there for that person regardless of whether or not they can turn around and help you in some way. And I think that's really what it's all about. Charlie and Dwayne, I don't know, do either one of you have any other things that we need to touch on before we wrap up? And I want to give Charlie a chance to talk a little bit about his new show too before we go. So anything else that you guys think we've missed that we haven't covered before, Charlie, we get to give you an opportunity to give your elevator pitch to get people to tune into the new show?
I just for me, you know, as we laid out, you know, Mike, we talked about kind of laying out this plan of who would be on the show and all that. I just thought Charlie was great just because, I mean, I love his energy, his passion. He really, again, cares about this place, the school. I think he really gets what we're trying to do. You know, he's been to a practice, so he's seen it. He's felt it, you know, and, you know, I think he understands, you know, who I am, who the staff is. So I thought it was really important. And also, I just, you know, he's only invited me on the show like twice. So I guess I haven't done a good enough job yet.
They think you're a regular.
But he's really good at what he does. And I wanted to have a chance to obviously talk about our program, but also give him a chance to talk about himself, because, you know, he's good at what he does.
Well, I appreciate that, my man. And I'll tell you, I'm excited about where we're going and where the UAlbany Great Dane men's basketball program is going. In your hands, we're going to have a lot of fun this year and build it up to be something completely great. And I will be on in the afternoons on 104.5, the team, here in the Capital Region. You also have the free 104.5 the team app on Google and Apple Play download, or the apps. You can download the app. So it'll be Charlie and Ball in the afternoon, and we will definitely have Coach Killings on regularly to tell us what's going on and how we're getting ready for the Sweet 16. No pressure.
I love when you throw that in there. You do a good job with that.
Nice. All right. Well, we got you in the Sweet 16, and then we're comparing you to Gonzaga. So, you know, it's
right,
all
exactly.
It's all good.
No,
we're pressure. We're not trying to put any pressure on you in this first year at all, Dwayne. None at all.
Mark Benson and Vic Seglis, they're smiling right now as you guys are doing this.
Well, let's hope, hey, when all that happens, the three of us will jump back on at the end of the season or the end of two seasons from now, and we will celebrate this conversation.
Live in the locker room, if that one happens, you can mark my word, we'll be live if we get that done.
All right, let's
absolutely
do it, man. That is a plan. All right, Charlie, before we get out, Dwayne has already shared his social media, and anybody who's following along with our series already knows where we can find him. But share again where people can find you social media wise, and just how people who want to reach out to you can do that. And then I'll jump back in and wrap things up.
Okay. You can go at Charlie Volker, VOELKER on Twitter, and at Charlie Volker on Instagram as well. Facebook, everything. So we've got it all. Go to 104.5, the team. And you can go there, and they've got my email. They've got everything. You can contact me through them.
Awesome. Please give Charlie's new show a listen. Check it out. And Dwayne, thank you for jumping on. Charlie, thanks for being a part of it.
Awesome.
And we're going to continue to look forward to building on this series and continuing to follow Dwayne and his progress. And I know I'm getting excited. It's been 2 months since he's been there. And just like you said, it went quick. It's going to go very, very fast. We traded some texts and emails about me getting up to a game there at Albany this year, and cannot wait for that to be able to show up in person and watch a game. So we got a lot of exciting things to look forward to in this series, and hopefully our audience is getting a lot of value out of it. So fellas, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and I will catch everyone on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.